ba bu ba bu ba bam, ba bu ba bu ba ba, ba bu ba bu ba ba, ba bu ba bu ba ba.
Welcome to the bonus hour, everybody. This is the stream of consciousness. This is Dane. You know, I don't know how often you've heard the bonus hour, but there are no rules.
Forget
anything
it.
Can happen.
Any rules?
Anything can happen.
Forget about them.
Forget about them. Leave the rules outside, we say. I have a story I want to tell you, but I'm apprehensive to tell you this because as I thought about it, this is a story that happened to me over the weekend, and every day I come in and I say to myself, I should tell the story. Somebody needs to help. Somebody needs to hear the story and explain this to me.
Okay.
But then I realize that I'm going to sound like a doof when I tell you what it was.
Is it that another kind of local lingo thing?
A doof? The doof? Well, doof is a lovely term meaning doofus.
Oh,
it's
doofus.
From the Latin doofus.
Oh, right.
Meaning
doofus delecti. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Over the weekend, if you'll remember. Now, keep in mind, I know as I'm telling you this that if the roles were reversed and you were telling me this, I would say to you,
you're a doof.
You, Dane, are you're doof Dane. You need to see not just one doctor, but a series of doctors.
Specialists in the doof.
Specialists
in doof arts.
All right. So on either Saturday or Sunday, I don't remember which day, but it was over the weekend. I thought to myself, as the weather was getting nice outside, and you know I'm a tennis fanatic. I play a lot of tennis. So I played indoor tennis both Saturday and Sunday. So whichever day it was, the weather outside was sparkling, and I thought, boy, I could easily play outside today, but I'm going to play inside. Then I thought to myself, you know, I've been saying to myself for years, I'm going to go back and play on those tennis courts that I used to play on, that I had to ride my bike to. I in my head, I'm remembering these courts vividly that I used to play on. Boy, I remember I used to get on the bike. I'd say to Terry, my wife, I'm going to play, and I would ride my bike to these courts, and they were amazing courts, perfectly sculpted. Everything about them was great. I didn't bring any of my usual tennis friends. I would always meet guys there. They always needed
like a
guy.
Pickup
game of tennis. Sometimes I'd play at night, and I thought to myself, this is the one thing that I always remembered about these courts, was that even though they were lit courts at night, there were no bugs flying around the lights. Like usually you see this at night. If you look up at lights, there's a swarm of bugs always flying around. And I always say to whoever I'm playing with, isn't that weird that there's no bugs flying? And they'd always go, yeah, that's crazy, right? So I was thinking to myself, yeah, this is the summer. I'm going to go back. I'm going to play on those great courts, the best courts I've ever played on. And then I thought, why didn't I do it last year? Why didn't I do it the year before? How long has it been? Then the more I thought about it, this is where the story gets weird. The more I thought about it, the more I realized those courts don't exist, that they're in my head. And every year, and I've been doing this since I was in college, I say, I got to go back and play on those courts, those great courts. But they're a figment of my imagination. It was a dream I must have had at some point. And it's the weirdest thing because I don't know, why would I invent this? What's going on there?
Ooh, this is kind of in the it's crazy. It's like a mirage, right? It's kind of a tennis-related mirage in your mind. It's kind of like you remember the conquistador searching for the gold in the Fountain of Youth, right?
Yes.
It doesn't exist.
Ponce de Leon.
Right. It doesn't necessarily, it doesn't exist. Well, it must have existed at one point, right?
In the early days when I used to think this, I'd always go, yeah, all I have to do is I have to get on my bike.
I mean,
and I remember how it started, how I would start out getting there. And then later in life, I altered it to where I live now, to where how I would. I know I have to get on my bike. I have to go that way. I have to go north, and then I have to turn there. And it's the craziest thing. Now, my wife's version of this is my wife said,
did you dream it once?
I must have dreamt it at some point. It must have been a dream that you know how some dreams just have such a real quality to them that when you wake up, you go, wait, did that really happen, or did I dream that?
In other ones, you're flying through the air, or
you know they're
with no
not
pants on
real,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
You know they're not real. So this must have been one that was so realistic that I just filed it away, and every once in a while, like, yeah, I gotta go back and play there. My wife explained to me. She goes, "This must be your heaven." Like, you know how everybody has an idealistic look of what their version of heaven is? My wife said the way you described it, and I went into more detail with her. It's like, how could I know the details of that? Like, I remember at night, I'd have to go over this bridge. There was this cobblestone bridge that I would go over. I'd ride my bike over, and then I knew the courts were just a few blocks away. And I described a bunch of other stuff to her. And she goes, just the mere fact that like not, nobody you regularly play with was part of this fantasy, this dream. Mm-hmm. You invent, like, there were always guys there like, hey, Bill, we need one more. Come on, join us. You know, and they were great guys. We always had a good time playing. She goes, this
is
your
version. There's no one that you could check with now. You can't say, right. Like, okay, well, I know Brad right. was there. Let's call him up.
In my head, there's a guy. One of my best friends from high school is this guy named Nick. And I'm like, I got to call Nick. And then the more I thought about it, it's like, in my head, whenever I would be ready to play, because I used to play tennis with him all the time, he was always like, I got something that day. I can't. You're on your own on this one, pal. I can't play today, but go have a great time. So my wife said, this is what your envisionment of heaven must be like. And she said, and it bothers me that I'm not in this. And I go, I can't control that, because I started having this dream before I even knew she was a person.
There you go. Plus, the heart wants what it wants.
The heart, that's what I'm going to tell her.
Yeah, that's what
the heart wants. What the heart wants.
It absolves you of any guilt, any problems, any anything. It sounds like it's sort of an alternative, like, dimension. Right?
That's what it, yes.
Right? I mean, it's
like that kind of.
This is a perfect thing for.
Did you ever see the Twilight Zone episode called Next Stop Willoughby? Where this guy, every day on the train, right, so he's on a train. This is funny because we talked about Twilight Zone for a long time the other day, but this fits. I'm not just saying it for the sake of Twilight Zone talk. All right, so this guy is on a train, and his existence isn't the happiest. He doesn't have a great home life. He doesn't have a great work life. But every day on the train back and forth, as he encounters these various stops along the way of getting from his house to downtown where he works, they go, next stop, Willoughby, and he looks out the window and he sees this great town where everybody's happy and everybody's smiling and everything's great, and he wants so badly to live in Willoughby. He's like, how can I do this? What do I need to do? And then, I don't want to say how it ends, but he...
It's a spoiler alert from like a 50-year ago show.
He somehow ends up in Willoughby. That's all I can say without giving away the twist. But... you find out that Willoughby is his version of heaven.
Wow.
That he's invented, and it's almost identical to what I'm describing. But why did I create that, and why did Dane, I'm not kidding. This started when I was in college. Now I'm in my mid-30s, and I'm still having that exact same fantasy.
The strange part about it, or the very interesting part about it, is that you're under the impression at times, now I think you've come to terms with it's a place that doesn't exist, right? But there were times where it was just,
for
kind
years.
Of filed back as like, oh yeah, this, there's, remember that one time we did this?
Yeah.
So there's got to be something, maybe it was a dream that made it as real as it could possibly be. Because in your dream, certainly some dreams are crazy, like your living room turns into Disney World, and and things. So even though it feels like it's a real thing when it's right. happening, when
you get know off, it's not real.
Yeah, I had this crazy dream, and then they're like, oh, really? What was it? And then as you're like, I don't know, 20 seconds in, you're like, never mind. It's just ridiculous. There's a lot of ocelots everywhere, and it was raining candy canes.
Right.
I don't know. So this was one of those where, and you've had those dreams before, I know I have, where they're really real, where even in your dream, you're acknowledging the fact that you are not in a dream.
Right.
You're like, oh, this is...
That's happened to me so many times.
Where you wake up from while you're still sleeping,
right.
You're waking up and kind of going about your day or whatever it is that you've got to do. So it must have happened in some way, some kind of, there must have been something to kind of imprint that in there. I like the idea that it could be, some sort of, idyllic setting where it is, how you would imagine the best way to do what it is you enjoy doing the most.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's kind of, I don't know a lot of people who have that, right?
But the strange, all right, every part of it is bizarre. The fact that I have fooled myself into believing that this place exists. Because I was thinking to myself,
did you see something in a movie where, like, a setting where you saw a setting like that, and then
no,
because there's times like over the years where you think about things enough and where things can change, as far as your perception of them.
Yeah, right,
like,
right,
well,
right.
This
right,
happened,
right.
Or maybe really this.
No, nothing like that took place. And the only way I solved it was because I said to myself, with the weather nice, this is the year I'm fine. I'm not going to just say I'm going to go play on those courts again. I'm going there. This is crazy. How many years has it been since I've played there? And then in my head, I'm like, how do I get there again? Wait a minute. That can't be right, because that doesn't exist. Like, as I'm thinking about it, and it was such a weird realization that something that has seemed so real just out and out never existed. I can't tell you how many times over the years I'm like, I got to get back. Those were the best courts I've ever played on. Everybody there was so nice and friendly. No bugs.
So did Terry just assume that this was a place that you had played in college when you would mention, I got to get back? She's like, yeah, you really should. And then as the conversation got a little further,
I ever brought it up to her until I solved the fact that it doesn't really exist.
Wow.
I thought I'd wait until the big payoff so she could say to me, why did you? Because I would say over the years, I've thought about this place 100 times, easily 100 times, and go, I got to go back there. That was so much fun.
As you question,
yeah,
you know, the fact of whether it exists, I would also, because it was so vivid, yeah, I would also question whether it does exist. You know, maybe it does.
Well, last night, because
maybe there is parts of it that maybe it's something that you passed by. Maybe it was someplace you visited as a kid. You know, and then you kind of built in, like, wouldn't it be great to play there kind of thing? And then you're like, well, yeah. And then, you know, maybe it is something that there's more to it.
But it's strange because, like, the detail on this is even better to me than places I've actually been to. Like, I remember so much vivid detail about various things. For instance, I remember one of the times I played there. Keep in mind, I never played there, but in my head, it's the version of me that played there. I would always, always, always ride my bike there. I would never drive there. I'd never walk there. I always took my bike there. And one of the times I went there, I realized I didn't bring my bike lock. And then as I'm parking my bike, I go, no one's going to steal my bike here. It's perfect here. I left my bike there. And when I was done playing, I rode my bike home. It was still there.
And you said you didn't bring any of your, normal supplies with? Like, people just, they're just like, hey, I got an extra racket.
Whatever you need.
Perfect for you.
Whatever you need. Well, I always brought my own racket, but the people there, like I said, it was always different people. It was never my friends, the people that I knew. It was always people that had, like, it was either a court that had one guy playing, waiting for me to play against him, or three guys. They needed one more guy. And then when they saw me, even though we had never played before,
hey, there he
Bill,
is.
Bill, come on, play with us.
Wow.
Like it would be in heaven.
That's kind of,
you know,
it's a little unnerving.
In tennis heaven.
It's all good, positive things. There wasn't any, you know, kind of crazy negative stuff.
No.
Just the whole thing is kind of unnerving.
Right.
Right? It would be like, I would be wondering if there's more to it.
My daughter one time, my daughter Kylie, we had gotten a DVD. We rented a DVD from Redbox. So the four of us, my wife, my two daughters, and I sit down and watch this movie. And my wife says from the kitchen, uh-oh, bad news, we're out of popcorn. To which Kylie says, there's some upstairs in Dad's popcorn drawer. And we all just stop. I go, where is the popcorn located? And she goes, in your popcorn drawer. And I go, I don't know what my popcorn drawer is. And she goes, Dad, the drawer by your computer, underneath your computer, is filled with popcorn, your popcorn drawer. And I just looked at her and I go, based on what? And she starts to laugh. She goes, oh my God. She goes, it's a dream I had a couple of weeks ago that you had a popcorn drawer, right? So that became like an inside joke. And then one time, I told her, I called her from work. We weren't working in this building. We were in the old Tribune building. And I said, Kylie, there's a number I need. It's in the drawer underneath my computer. Can you get it for me and read me the number?
Say, oh, the
she
popcorn
opens
drawer?
It up. I had filled it with popcorn.
Wow.
I had taken barrels of popcorn and filled the drawer so that when she opened it up, all she got was popcorn.
Oh, see, that's very thoughtful. That is very, and then also maddening and confusing.
I just hear this on the other line of the phone. You did not.
Well, there's times when you're kind of half asleep and people are talking to you and you're kind of coming, like waking up.
Sure.
Whether it's from, you know, a nap or whether it's in the morning, where you're responding to things and, oh yeah, go over there by the
right,
by the purple giraffe, you
yeah,
know,
right.
And then they're like, what? And you're like, you know, the giraffe, it's purple.
Do you hear like conversations as you're drifting off? Like, I don't know if you ever sleep with the TV on.
Always.
Or if you're in a room.
Most horrible thing you can do.
Oh. As you're dozing off, does the conversation you're hearing, does that get incorporated into your dream?
What, Bill, it's so crazy. 100%. I'm like the worst fall asleep with the TV on person. And whether it's, you know, infomercials on the amazing, you know, Youth Melon from Dr. Shabag, or it's Tony Little on the Gazelle,
mm-hmm,
or it's, you know, if you're watching the, you know, the crime channel or whatever, it's like it gets built into
the dream.
Built into the thing.
How does that happen?
Here's one of the other things too. So Maxwell's got a phone and he just loves the whole alarm situation. So
yeah,
he sets alarms at like 2 and 3 and 4. It's just all sorts of different times and he doesn't wake up. The phone is next to him in a room that's like 40 feet away. He
yeah,
doesn't wake up, but the alarms are loud. And I had a dream where the alarm was going off. And it's like, for some reason, I'm in a hotel in the Alps or something, some kind of mountain town. I have no idea why.
Yeah.
It's like, meh, meh, meh. And so in my dream, I'm turning the alarm up. I'm hitting the button. The alarm, it does not work. So then I unplug it. And I figured, oh, well, this must be it. And I take it down to the front desk.
Which is what you would do.
And it stopped, and it's still going. And it just worked its way into my dream. It was just, oh.
That's crazy.
Maddening, yes.
All right, we've got several texts from people saying, Bill, you must talk to Dr. John Duffy about this dream and find out why you created this parallel universe. I will do that.
You want to do that? He's going to dispense maybe a little like psychic tough love. Maybe it means something.
I need to find out what's behind this. Why did I create this idyllic utopia society where it doesn't exist? What's behind it? And why was I able to fool myself for so long? I'm not kidding. This started when I was in college. It's been going on for that long, only to find out that that place does not exist.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
It's one thing to have a recurring dream. It's another to really think it's real.
Right. Right. All right, we'll take a break. Thank you, texters, for suggesting that. I will follow up on it, I promise. We'll take a quick break, and then we'll come up with more. It's Bill and it's Dane in for Wendy on WGN. All right, we're back. It's Bill F. It's Dane Neal. Kim Gordon has joined us. Kim's going to give you some news, and then more chit-chat. Hi, Kim. How are you?
I like chit-chat.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll try to make it equal parts chit and equal parts chat.
Okay.
In the past, people have complained.
It's more chit than chat.
A lot more 60-40 than they want, so we'll go for an even break on the chit and the chat. Earlier in the show, Dana and I were talking about a word that was new to us, Americanisms. So these are words or phrases that in the United States we get.
What did you do to antagonize?
You must have antagonized another baby.
No, I must have chewed on it. They made me wear it when I was too young, evidently, and I chewed on it. So there's little teeth marks in it. Little baby Wendy teeth marks.
That's excellent.
And for Christmas last year, she wrapped up my baby shoes and gave them to me. They don't fit.
Technically, no, I hope not. What if they did? Wouldn't that be sick?
I'd have to.
I know. Technically, those gifts are already yours. I hate to be the bearer.
I know. But it's funny to me because she finds something and she gets a big laugh out of me unwrapping it, like my Snoopy waste can.
Oh.
That was rusty and dented, but she thought it was very funny.
When I went to Catholic school, when I went to St. Damien, the nuns would always tell us at the beginning of each day which saint's birthday it was, right? Like they would say, like at the beginning of the day, we were in homeroom, and they'd say, just remember that today is St. Anne's birthday. And I don't know what to do with that information, but we would all, oh, excellent.
Happy birthday.
This could be an insane day, St. Anne's birthday. But then they would also tell us when it was a saint's feast day, and I don't know what the difference is. At all. And I didn't care enough to ask.
Yeah.
Like at the time, if I cared enough, I'd go, excuse me, sister, what is the difference between a saint's birthday and a feast day? But I would just, like I said, you file it under, I have no idea what to do with this information. So that on a daily basis, we were told which saints to honor, and then I would nod, like, I'm going to do that all day. But then I did not. I have no interest in knowing.
It's so weird, and you know, I know people who have gone to Catholic schools, and my husband included, once they get out, it's like they've kind of had enough of it for a while.
You're bombarded with so much information.
You do come back to it. I think it's sad. I think, you know, a Catholic education should continue your Catholicism.
Right.
But it is kind of rammed down your throat all the time.
So much stuff is drilled into you.
He did 12 years of it.
See, you said it like a prison sentence. That's how many of us who endured it look at it. I understand the importance of religion.
But you went to public high school, right?
I did, yeah. Starting my freshman year with public high school.
Why did that change? It's so expensive to send your kid to a Catholic school as well for all 12 years. You have a lot of kids, which a lot of Catholics do, I'm sorry.
No,
it's true.
It's true.
It's super expensive.
Right, I know. With ours, it was a matter of my parents picked the school that they thought would give me the best education. And my dad, being Jewish, was not thrilled with the idea of me going to a Catholic school. But everyone around goes, no, this is the best school in the area. So based on that, he goes, yeah, all right. Except he told, and I know I've told you this before, but I think it bears repeating. My dad said as a joke, all right, the kids can go to a Catholic school. Keep in mind, he's Jewish. My mom's Catholic. So my dad says, the kids can go to a Catholic school, But the day one of the teachers tell him that it was the Jews that killed Christ, we're pulling him out of the school, and we all laughed. And then, in fifth grade, I had the nun who said that. And we challenged her. We're like, well, no, actually, it was the Roman soldiers. Oh, no, it was the Jews, like that. She was adamant about that. So that was kind of
disturbing. Did you come home and tell your dad?
I told my mom, because I thought my dad would pull us out of school. Yeah. So I said, oh, by the way,
true.
That is true.
That's when you've succeeded as a brand. Where
yes.
The brand is just means whatever category of product it is.
Right.
It's like the Kleenex, like, or crayon. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, give me a crayon, you know, not a colored wax.
Yeah.
Pencil
yeah.
device.
Now, here's a Wisconsin one I've noticed. I don't know, Stuart, if your husband says this, but a lot of times my friends from Wisconsin, if they want you to approach them, will say, come here once.
I've heard that, yeah.
I don't know why the once part is necessary. So if somebody approaches you that one time, are they then forbidden from ever approaching you again? I asked you to just come here once. That's my limit. I don't want you approaching me all the time. I don't know why that one. I'm sure people in other parts of the country say it, but for some reason, every time I'm in Wisconsin.
I have heard that a lot. Yeah, right.
You get a lot of you betcha.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, hey there.
Is that more of sort of like a parody?
But doesn't that have sort of European roots?
German.
Doesn't it?
Swedish.
It does, right?
Yeah, I think.
It has to.
Yes.
A person said that in America, we say the word math when in reality it should be maths, because math is short for mathematics, not mathematic.
Oh,
agreed or disagreed?
I disagree on that. You're just cutting the word short.
Right. Right. But it's like...
arithmetic.
You know the chain of frozen yogurt shops that is TCBY yogurt?
Yes.
Okay, so the Y in TCBY, it's the country's best yogurt. So what you're actually saying when you're saying TCBY yogurt is the country's best yogurt.
Wait, is the country's best yogurt? I thought it was, this can't be yogurt. Like, this
No.
Like, I can't believe it's not butter.
Yeah.
No, it's the country's best yogurt.
Well, I learned something new today. Yeah. That's so funny.
So we are doubling up on the, I can't believe it's not yogurt.
I always thought that's what it was.
Here a foreign person has said, and it bothers me, I mentioned this on the regular show, they say the people's names, but they don't say their country of origin. I would love to know what country these people are from. To notice these things, but it says, even though I know what the phrase means, anytime somebody says, I'll take a rain check, it makes no sense to me. So what a rain check is, everybody knows this, I assume. If you go to a department store and you say, hey, you guys have paint on sale, but you're out of the color I want, they say, we'll give you a rain check, meaning when we get more in stock.
You'll
know
be able to capitalize on whatever that
right.
Was.
And
whatever
now that phrase is pretty much gone, because they'll say, "Oh, we'll just order for you from somewhere else."
It's
online.
Easy. We'll send it to your house,
right?
But I know that there's no rain. Doesn't have to be part of the equation to get
anything.
A rain check.
It could be even like, let's get together for lunch. Oh, I'm gonna have to take a rain check.
Right.
You know, people just means like, can't do it right now.
But somebody told me once that the beginning of this came from sporting events, that if you bought a ticket to a baseball game and it rained and they didn't play that day, you would get a rain check to come back on another day.
That makes sense.
But we've now plugged it in to any situation where something doesn't come through.
Something doesn't, yeah, absolutely.
Right. So technically that one's correct. I would imagine. That one I can't say on the air. I mentioned this one already, Kim, but I think this is one of the best ones, is that in America we call bathrooms restrooms when nobody's resting.
Right.
But then my argument is,
there's
but
a lot
no
of work going on in there.
No, there is. There are times where there's plenty of work going on in there. That's very, very true. Here's a person who says, in America they tend to say the phrase horseback riding, but where else would you sit on the horse when riding it?
The ancient art of horse head riding.
Horse head riding. So dangerous. So much fun, though.
Yeah.
Much fun.
Too easy to ride the back.
Why do you in America call a main course an entree? It's a main course.
I thought we were trying to be like fancy French.
Is That's where that comes from, right?
Word?
Yeah, I think so. Except that doesn't entree mean first?
I don't know.
I think... It does. But an entree is never first. The appetizer's first.
Right.
So that's the salad. Right. Unless you're in Europe and then they say you have your
along
salad
with.
Later.
Yeah.
Well, for the entree, it's exactly. That's one of those things. That's why it's on the list.
Right.
Yep.
An entree should be first, but it is not. Now, Kim just mentioned the salads. Let me run this past you, Dane, because I know you know the world of food better than I do. Both Kim and I are of the belief that a salad should come out first, not as part of the rest of the meal. That's your opening act is the salad. Then you bring in the middle and then the headliner. But what are your thoughts on that? Should a salad be a part of the meal or should it be pre-meal?
Well, it depends. You know, some salads are the meal. You know, if you have a meal, you know,
meal,
like a, you know, it's got like salmon in it or steak or chicken, you know, there's stuff in it that makes it kind of the meal.
Yeah.
And I think it's up to whatever you like. A lot of times the salad is it's a nice little sort of conversation and kind of,
yeah,
you know, digestive starter, right?
You're buying that,
Ken? If you're coursing it out, it should be the salad first.
Yes, absolutely.
Right?
100% typical. But
right.
I think there's no rules if you really want
salad
it.
First. Then soup, then some M&Ms, and then the entree.
Then the Cadbury eggs.
And the Cadbury eggs, right. This woman says, the phrase, I cannot put my finger on it. It took me a few months to understand the meaning of it.
That's a really good one, because where did that start?
I have no idea the origins.
You had to put your finger. Maybe this is before language existed. Maybe back to the time of hieroglyphics
or cave
drawings.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And so you'd have to be like putting your finger on it
to single it out,
to show someone,
to point to another cave person.
Yeah.
This is the buffalo I'm referring
That's
to.
Now
right.
we just have emojis.
Right. Right. This was a pre-emoji world. This person says, I could give you their names, but they don't matter. They're all people from other parts of the world who have visited or now live in the United States.
Are the names indicative of where they are?
Well, for instance, you can take a guess on this one. Their first name is N-Y-N-K-E, Ninki, and their last name is B-O-T-T-I-N-G-A, Ninki Botinga.
Okay.
Did you ever have that when you were a kid?
Rwanda.
Boy, that itches.
Yeah, I imagine.
We have Ninki Botinga. Ninki says, which is two words I never thought I would say in order, being greeted with this, hi, how are you, when you enter a shop, and then getting funny looks when you give them the answer. Well, that's true. When we in America ask somebody how they are, it's just a time filler. Because if they say, oh, I got stuff. Sit down, Ninki Botinga. I'll tell you what's going on with me.
Yes, this is going to be a while.
Where do you want to start? This person, I'm guessing, is from the UK. Oh, they are. They say in the beginning. But my guess is going to be England, somewhere in the UK. They say chips. These aren't chips. They're crisps, damn it. Chips are hot, chunky, oblonged, or fried potatoes with plenty of salt and vinegar. So what are our chips are potato chips, but if you go to England and get fish and chips, you're going to get something akin to French
fries. Like a fried potato.
Yeah. 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 And that's the only difference between England and the United States.
That's it, right there.
That's the one.
But that's, you know, a crucial big difference.
Mm-hmm. This one, tell me if you get, because I know what they're going for, but I think I disagree. It says, come on, fall, the correct term is autumn. That's a 50-50. You can say either one.
They're just...
It's not offensive.
No.
To say fall instead of autumn.
And probably...
But do we have...
If they're looking in a dictionary, like a, you know, translation dictionary,
right,
it's going to translate more formally.
Right.
So they're going to get autumn versus fall. I
agree.
Would say fall is more casual than autumn.
But it's the only one I can think of offhand. Well, where did that come from?
Where did offhand come from?
Where we have a season that has sort of
two names.
Multiple names.
Well, I think the fall is because leaves fall.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. But does summer have like an alternative and still equally acceptable thing? Or just winter?
It's, no.
Spring?
No.
Can't think of anything.
Right.
Right?
Yep. Fall gets two. Here's an interesting one. This is according to England. You in America say counterclockwise, but what do they say in England? They use a different word. Do you know what it is? I've heard this before, and it threw me the first time I heard it.
Counterclockwise.
We say counterclockwise, meaning, you know, everyone knows what clockwise and counterclockwise means. But in England, they do say clockwise, but their answer to clockwise, the opposite, is anti-clockwise.
Oh.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, they both make sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. In America, you like to say that you're fixing to do something. You don't just do it. You have plans to do something. You say you're fixing to do something.
That's more in the South.
Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
Yep. Yep. What are people fixing to do in the South?
Fixing to do lots of fun.
All kinds of things.
Lots of fun stuff.
Fun stuff. Having a Coke. An orange Coke.
That's right.
Orange vanilla Coke.
Right.
That sounds so disgusting. But
yeah.
Right? They did just come out with orange. Right? Orange Coke is a real thing, right?
Yes,
orange.
It sounds horrible.
And the song is... They've worked it into sort of, I think they worked with the people from the Frozen soundtrack because the song
really?
Is like one of those, like, why do
Let
I keep
it go?
Orange vanilla Coke.
You know? Oh, really?
Orange vanilla Coke Yeah, it's crazy.
Now, the one you mentioned, the mango, I think that's just in diet, I think, right? They have five new diet flavors and two or three new regular flavors.
The lime is the only thing remarkably close I would try.
Cherry Coke's pretty good, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
You don't like the Sriracha Coke? Do they ever
Sriracha
do that
Coke is delicious. You in America like to say the date backwards, and it drives me crazy. It's very confusing. Yes. So how do we say the date backwards? Like, well, we say December 10th.
When we write it down, we write it down month, backwards.
Month, then date, then year.
Yeah, and they do it the opposite.
Yeah, they do date, the opposite. Yeah, day and then month.
What do you make of this? My daughter Reese said this to me about a week ago. She said she had an appointment the next day at 12:30. And she goes, Dad, I got to be honest with you. I still, to this day, am confused about the 12:30 thing. And I go, what is confusing about 12:30? She goes, the fact that leading up to the 12 o'clock hour, like if you're in the a.m., it's 8 a.m., it's 9 a.m., it's 10 a.m., it's 11 a.m., but then once it's noon, it becomes p.m., when in reality, it would make more sense to keep it, as long as you're going the full route to 12, keep that a.m., switch over the p.m. at 1 o'clock. Why is 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. reversed from the rest of the number schedule? You follow me? You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it make more sense?
But that begins the morning when it... When it at 12:01, that begins the morning. The day is done.
It does the way we do it, but why wouldn't you start that at 1 o'clock? Why wouldn't you finish the cycle of all the numbers being AMs and then the cycle of all the numbers being PMs? Why switch it on the 11 into 12? Switch it when you're naturally switching at 12 into 1. Wouldn't that it would make more sense, I think.
It would be acceptable, and I think if whoever decided, like, you wonder who's the
Jerry
at what big meeting did everybody get together? Right. Like, and this is going to happen this way.
Well, they did the meeting at 12:30, and some of the guys were missing, and they're like, "Why are these guys always missing?"
Yeah,
it's because we're
doing
12. That's
why I got approved.
Right, that's why. That's absolutely the reason why. All right, just a couple more of these. It says it's amazing for a Spaniard how you create verbs. For instance, you in America will say, I okayed your proposal this morning. What would it be? You would say, I mean, I know there's other words for okayed. I see what he's going for. Why take a word that's already a bastardization of a word? Okay isn't really a word. We've made it all a word.
Or is it just the order, you know, the proposal of yours has been okayed.
Right. Here's a person. Again, you can guess where this person is from. Their first name is Matilda, M-A-T-H-A-L-D-E. Their middle name is T-T, T-I-T-I. Their last name is Earhard. So I'm going to guess Desplaines? Matilda T.T. Earhard says, I always found the phrase, don't be a stranger, to be very confusing. The first time a classmate told me that, I replied, what do you mean? I can't help it. I'm a foreigner.
Well, it's good not to be a stranger. I think just as a preventative measure to avoid being pepper sprayed because of the stranger danger.
Well, I understand. All right. So what the phrase really means is let's keep in touch. Don't become a stranger to me. I've known you for years and years. Yeah. I hope the situation doesn't change.
That's it. Right.
But if you're new to the American culture, it sounds you would say, well, that's impossible. Once you and I have established a relationship, how could I ever be a stranger? So I could see where that one. Point to you, Matilda T.T. Earnhardt. You have once again shown me the way.
Touche, T.T.
Here's a person who says, biscuits. That's what you like to call your cookies. Come on. Your biscuits are our scones.
Yeah, it's true.
So how does that work? Biscuit to us normally means bread.
Right.
In England,
biscuits are kind of like little... they're similar to graham
crackers. Right?
They're cookies, but they're... They're dry kind of cookies. They're not...
Like a dog biscuit.
Yeah.
I mean, but
which is
people,
most of British
fluffy.
Food.
Have I you love been those England? Biscuits, actually.
Are they good?
Cheese. Oh, my God. Yeah. They're great.
But biscuits gets inserted for a bunch of different things.
You know, in England it does, or in the United States?
Well, no, here you're like...
But it's, you know, a biscuit is flat, more cookies. Like a cracker look, where a biscuit here is more like a scone. It's thick, it's crusty.
Oh, yeah, it would be, right.
You know, more bready.
Right.
More...
Yeasty.
Like a pastry.
Yeah, yeah. And toss your cookies.
Toss your cookies.
Is a colloquialism meaning throwing up.
Throwing up.
Yeah, right.
And then
you're not physically tossing
cookies. Do you toss
cookies.
Your biscuits?
Well, you could.
Matilda T.T. Earnhardt used to, Dane. Did you know that about her?
She started a trend.
She was a biscuit tosser.
Unfortunately.
Yes. Here's a person who says, in America, you like to say pants, but in England...
Trousers.
It says...
Slacks.
Yeah, trousers. Right.
The other thing I noticed, too, when you're in Europe or somewhere outside of the U.S., you know, here you say, oh, my friends that I work with or my coworkers, they always say my colleagues.
Oh, that's so much more impressive to hear that.
Whenever they'll say, oh, I'll bring over my colleague. And you're like, ooh, here goes the bell.
Yeah. They also don't take vacations. They're on holiday.
Exactly.
Doesn't that sound nice?
I'm on holiday. So much nicer.
Well,
but if things go bad on holiday, they go to hospital. Just hospital.
Exactly.
Very generic sounding. As long as we're talking about pants, let me throw this one in. I'm no Matilda T.T. Earnhardt. You know that already.
Who is?
No one is, Dane.
You can't even.
Not even Matilda T.T. Earnhardt is Matilda anymore. I don't understand to this day why we will refer to pants as a pair of pants when you're really just getting one.
But you have two legs.
You do have two legs, but you don't say a pair of shirts. There's two sleeves.
Arms, that's true.
So why is it a pair of pants? Someone's getting ripped off. I don't know who, but someone in the chain is
somebody to not show up to the meeting.
Jerry.
That is, you know, because you got a pair of shoes, right?
Yeah.
And there are two separate shoes.
For something to be a pair of something, you kind of have to have two of them.
That's so, because you wonder, they are one thing.
Right.
Unless back in the day there was give me a right leg and a left leg, maybe they're made separately.
You would go into a store and just buy one part of that? They go, you know what, as long as I'm here, I'm getting the left side.
Yeah.
Why don't you,
if you had a wood leg, you just ordered a right?
That's right, from the pirate store. Yeah, a lot of people just only needed one leg.
Right.
You know? And then back then, you know, times were tough and not everybody had a lot. Maybe you started off with one leg because it was tough to afford that full pair, full set of pants.
It just seems wrong. Oh. That's all I'm saying. Here's another one. This person says, silverware, come on, who are you fooling? Most of the time what you're getting is plasticware. It's not cutlery. Why are you calling it silverware? That's true. If you go to a fast food place and they don't give you a fork or a spoon, you'll go, do you know where the silverware is located? And it's not silverware.
Well,
plastic.
But back in the day, it was silver.
It was, and
I think or at least most people, you know, typically what you have in the drawer is the silver color.
Cutlery.
You know, I mean, it's colored. I mean, it's like silver colored.
Yeah, now you can buy plastic silver coloring.
It looks exactly like the real stuff.
And then when you pick it up, you're like, what?
I know this shouldn't impress me as much as it does, but anytime I am somewhere and they have that where it's obviously plastic.
You feel like you're eating a fancy meal.
This is great. I love this stuff.
They have the good plastic.
I must be a good guest if I'm getting the good plasticware.
That's when you know it's a high class.
Things are going really, really good. This one I can't say, but in Great Britain, they have another word for cigarettes that's a very offensive word here in the United States. I'm surprised that in England that word is still said.
Really?
Different places.
You know the word, right?
No.
It starts with an F. It's a derogatory, it's a homophobic word.
Okay, yes,
right?
I do know. Oh,
so in England, that is a common word, you hear it every day, for cigarettes. But how are they still getting away with that?
I think different places, things mean different things, and I think it's just part of the vernacular. You wonder where all that stuff goes. There's a lot of different things.
Along those same lines, I've been watching more and more British comedies on television. We were talking earlier about this Ricky Gervais show, Afterlife, and there's a couple of other shows. Catastrophe is another great, great sitcom in England that I'm watching here in the United States. They use the C word so often, and no one's offended by it. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Like here in the United States, if a sitcom, if you heard somebody on Friends refer to somebody else as Friends as the C word, would the switchboard light up quickly.
Like
you're
such a bang.
Yeah.
You know,
Chandler. But in England, no big deal.
Wow. Okay.
That's one of our most pointed words here in the United States. If you call somebody that, those are fighting words.
Well, but you go to different cultures, and of course, that's a very close, you know, culture, and obviously a lot of similarities. But you go to some places where you hear, like, if you show them the bottom of your foot, they'll be offended. You know, right. I mean, so you never know what it's going to be.
It's different everywhere. All right. We must take a break. As promised, John Williams will be in for the crosstalk. It's going to be very exciting. Kim, thank you for hanging out.
Anytime.
More after this. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. Dane, remember that big crosstalk that I was promoting all day?
I was looking
John
forward
Williams?
To it.
I lied. Not going to happen.
What's it called?
Change
teaser.
In scheduling. Right.
Without the payoff.
It's the old bait and switch.
There you go.
I knew that the one true way to get people to listen to the very end of the show, good to the last drop, as we say in the coffee industry, was to tell them that John Williams would be here when they were taking that last sip. Boy, did I lie.
Let's go with Elvis next time.
Yeah, we'll go bigger and better every time. All right, John will be in to give you his show. You know, the White Sox are on regular WGN radio, but fear not, John Williams and his show will be on the stream, and you can listen and enjoy it there. It's coming up in just seconds. Dane, thank you so much for filling in.
This
was so much fun. Yep. Great to see you. I appreciate you being here. Yep.